Again, we'd like to welcome all of those that are joining us online, those that are joining in here. Some have come home to visit with relatives, and so we're glad that you're here today. Good to be worshiping God and giving Him thanks for His many, many blessings that He pours out in our lives. I want to congratulate the graduates, those that are graduating from college and high school. We'll be having more formal presentations on that. But again, welcome to our services. I want to give a shout out to the folks down in Charlotte County. I found out yesterday that my folks down in Charlotte County are tuning in and they're listening to our worship services here. So y'all just wave at them. Just let them know you're glad. They can't see you, but anyway. Amen. But we're just, it humbles us to think that our little church is reaching out to many people in many areas. And we're certainly thanking God for that. And as T was singing in that song, it's just the goodness of God. It's nothing that we've done, but it's the goodness of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, next Sunday, we will be having the ordination service for two of our candidates, Brother James Jones and Brother Levern Marshall. That service is going to be at 3 p.m. on next Sunday. The pastor of the Mount Zion Baptist Church in Bedford will be delivering the message, the ordination message, and we'll be actually going through the process of ordination, or what we might call the acts of ordination according to Acts chapter 6, for two of our brethren here at the church. So we're very grateful for that. That'll be at 3 p.m. next Sunday here at the Crossroad Baptist Church. Thank God for that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are excited. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. We're still in the book of Acts. The Lord has given us another message from that. And I want to share with you some concerns that I have. And maybe you would think in your mind that they're not concerns, but as we bring this out, it may strike a nerve or a note with you. Paul, as we go into this text, is actually going on his first missionary journey, taking the gospel into areas where people have never heard about God. So in Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse number 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from birth, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly looking at him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice to him, Stand up on your feet. And he leaped and walked." Now get this, the person born without the ability to walk, all of a sudden something happens in that service. And when the people saw that, what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Thus, in the reading of God's word, you may be seated. I want to share with you the thought, modern day idols.
Amen.
Modern day idols. Is that a good topic? Modern day idols. Father, help us now to prepare, and not only prepare, but Lord, to give forth that which you've given us in study. Pray that you'd bring out your truth, that it might strike our hearts, and that it might help us to learn what is righteousness and how you would have us to serve you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. Pray that you'd give us clarity of voice and clarity of understanding, that we might be able to love you more and serve you better through hearing your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. At the close of this service, we're going to be celebrating something called communion. We call it communion because it is the time that we share the sacraments of what Christ has done for us. We have the wafer and we have the cup of juice that we partake of, and that is meaningful to us. But what if we said to ourselves, I'm going to worship that. I'm going to pay homage to that bread and to that cup. Now, granted, these are just things that we're doing, and as it says on the table, in remembrance of Christ. If we take that up a level, if we elevate that to the level of where somebody might be saying in the audience, this is going to be miraculous when I receive this. Now, granted, God may allow a miracle to take place as you're receiving the communion, but it's not the wafer. It's not the juice that's doing it. It's God Almighty. I bring that up because we as Americans, we have a problem with idolatry and we don't even know it. You see that we got the emblem or the flag, that flyer that says, "In God we trust." But guess what? It's on our money. And when some people get that almighty dollar, they'll say, "This is what I trust in." Some it may be pride. We're given a warning in the book of 1 John. There are three things that are very destructive to people's lives: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are things that people worship, and they idolize them and don't even realize it. You know, I think it's humorous that we have this program that we celebrate talent, and we call it American Idol. And so when the person completes that process, and if they're number one, they get idolized. Well, what does that mean? I came up with a few notes that I think would be interesting, and I want to just be clear that you understand and I understand. An idol is nothing. It has no life. It cannot breathe. It can't help you. You can talk to it, but it can't talk to you. You know, on this island, Tom Hanks was on this island, and he needed someone to talk to, so he found this soccer ball, and he painted a face on it, and he started talking to it so it would keep him company. But guess what? All during that time, he could imagine it saying something, but it really wasn't doing anything for them. It wasn't doing anything for them. And the Bible warns us. When God gave the Ten Commandments, he said, "I will have no other gods before me." I'll bring that out in just a minute. But how do we deal with these idols? And so you and I have some homework to do. We've got some things that we need to ponder and some things that we need to think about. Do we have idols in our lives? And if we do have those idols in our lives, what's the threat? Is it going to cause any damage, any harm in the long run? So those are some things we need to think about as we go through. We just referenced Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. God was absolutely telling the people, you know, without reservation, "I'm not going to have that. You're not going to depend on me for breath, and then you give that breath to something that is not of God." Are y'all here? So he said, "I will have no other gods before me." Now, why is God giving us this command? Is he just, you know, "I'm mad at you all"? No. You need God for everything. You would not have gotten out of your bed this morning, even though you grabbed your cell phone as soon as you got out of bed and you started looking at that. But what you should have done before you got your cell phone, you should have said, "God, thank you for another day. Thank you for allowing me to wake up this morning." Now, some of you young people, y'all don't have problems jumping out of bed. You don't have any issues just jumping up and going. Us old folk got to do some praying. "Help me, Jesus. Lord, bless me now." And we ain't playing either. Come on, y'all know. Idolatry is a problem that we may not have even thought about Some may even say that, well, that's the Old Testament, Pastor. That's way back with folks in the Old Testament. You know, the Ammonites and all of the other tribes that Israel took over. They wiped out those gods, right? No, they didn't. They had pagan shrines. They had these poles on which they would adorn, and they would have these things called groves. It was usually in a high place where they would go up to the grove, and then they would worship this idol god who could not answer their prayer, who could not help them even with the simple things in life. God gives us the very breath that we breathe. He puts food on our table. God allows us to have health and strength. He gives you the activity of your limbs. He blesses you in so many ways. And so for anyone to do that and to say, well, I believe that this is my God, because you can't see the Lord, but you can certainly feel him. For you to do that is an insult. It's an insult to God. I made a couple of notes here. We pay little attention to the idols these days. It's just a harmless little thing that refers to something that we notice, something that grabs our attention. But the destructive thing about the idol itself is that it separates us from God. That's the danger. That's where you're really crossing the line into something that now you have offended God. You grieved him. Now, as for the Old Testament, when we think about Israel, the Lord had done some mighty things for them, things that they could see with their eyes, things that no one else could ever do. Egypt had many gods. And what God did through those plagues that he brought on Egypt, he brought down their gods. He showed them, Egyptians, what you were worshiping was nothing. Here I am, the living God. He destroyed the nation of Egypt, but then miraculously, he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. How did he do that? He opened up the Red Sea, and the people saw it as they walked over across that dry land of the Red Sea. They walked over on dry land into the wilderness. God was leading them, and the Israelites saw it. They were going, yeah, God, you're doing it. But as soon as they got into the wilderness, they started remembering the things that they worshiped before. They reverted back to their old way of thinking, their old way of doing things, and they served idols. You say, well, what is an idol? Anything you put between you and God. Anything. Notice he says, no other. So if you got anything that is standing between you and God, you can call it what you want to. Yeah, it's just a little habit. It's an idol. It's an idol. And it's going to destroy you. Children can become idols. Oh, I just love my child. Now, don't get me wrong. I think parents should praise their children. They should be encouraging to them. But, you know, while you think you got an angel, you just might have a little booger head on your hands, you know. I'm just saying, they're capable of doing stuff that you didn't think they could do. Amen. Sneak up on them sometime. As one person said, when they're young, they're on your knee. When they're older, they're on your heart. We're all sinners. We all come short of God's glory. And that includes your kid that you got a bumper sticker that says, they're on the honor roll. Yeah. But I say that because anything can become an idol. And when you elevate it to that status, it becomes a problem. Because now you have angered God. You've driven a wedge between the one who loves you and the one that can help you through life's journey. I'll give you some solutions in just a minute, but let's go back to Israel. Let's visit them. I'm going to get to my text in just a minute, but I'm an old preacher. It takes me a while. I'm going to actually get to the passage that we're talking about, because here is Barnabas and Paul They're facing idolatry. And we could say that the people were innocent, but as we look deeper into the text, they weren't innocent. These people were mean. By the way, anytime you serve an idol, it makes you meaner. It makes you uglier. Your character becomes unholy. But the closer you get to God, you become more holy. Now some of you are likable because you've been around God. You've been hanging out with Jesus, so now you don't do that stuff you used to do. But how do we tell if something is an idol? So what is an idol? Let's go through a couple of things. Anything that stands between you and God, obviously, and demands your worship. Demands your worship. People say, well, how do I know what I'm worshiping? What takes up most of your time? Now, I know some of you always say jobs. Your job could be an idol if you don't recognize God. Did you hear what I was saying? There are people that have jobs that are absolutely critical. You think about our first responders. You think about our military. Think about people that are serving the public every day. Health. They're there because they're helping you. But if they turn that job into something that separates them from God and they worship it. Now, I didn't say don't like your job. Like your job. You may not like your boss, but like your job. God gave that to you. It demands your worship. It demands your full devotion. You start spending money on it. Now it becomes something that, rather than you controlling it, it controls you. And remember, it has no power except the power that you give it.
Amen.
Now all of a sudden it's consuming your life. It's taking up all your time, spending all your money on it. That's why I'm so glad I got saved. Because I worship Saturday night. Yeah. Sunday morning, didn't have a dime in my pocket. As my mama said, didn't have two nickels to rub together to make a dime. Broke. And when you turn your life over to God, you find out, man, Monday morning, you still got some money. Because that's the difference that Christ makes. Are y'all still here? So an idol is something that separates you from God, demands your worship, and turns you away from obeying the Lord. He's given you things to do. Now you're doing the opposite. Instead of loving your neighbor, you're envious of your neighbor. Instead of doing that which is good, you're doing that which is evil. Because you're not following God's commands. And you depend on it more than God. Another verse that I didn't put up there, God says, I'm jealous. Why wouldn't he be? You look up in the heavens, everything has been made by him. He doesn't put his name on it because he doesn't need to. The heavens declare the glory of God. What artists would do since ancient times, they would write their name in some way on the canvas of their artwork or somewhere on the statue or the sculpture that they'd been working on. They would sign their name. God didn't have to sign his name because the beauty of it signs his name for him. That's how great your God is. That's how awesome he is. Nobody else can make a star. I was reading the other day that a star, the nearest star, is light years away. Notice I said light years. And the speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Multiply that time the minutes that are in a day, and then the days that are in a year, and you will come up with the light year. Are y'all still here? So the nearest star that happens to sparkle in your eye, it started out a long time ago. But it made its way to you to tell you your God is real. To tell you nobody can make a star like God. To tell you that if God made that star, you better pay attention to him because he also made you. Yeah, he's the creator of heaven and the earth. Take this checklist. Look at it. Look at it closely. Because in America, we have some problems with idols. One of them is money, but the other one is the one in the mirror. You worship yourself. Think about it. You've been working hard all week. You tell yourself, I owe myself this. Get on vacation, you kick on. Nothing wrong with going on vacation. Nothing wrong with getting your sandals up there and getting your feet wet and walking in the sand. Don't tell yourself, I owe this to me. You got an idol on your hands. You're worshiping yourself and don't. Now, here's what you could do. Here's what you could say. Lord, I thank you. I'm walking on this sand. Lord, I thank you. I'm eating food and don't have to clean up the table. Lord, I thank you. I'm on vacation because of you. Lift your hand and say yes, somebody. Now, I'm going to get to a bigger problem in America, but I wanted y'all to notice that one. Because if the truth be known, you love you some you. But you know, no matter how much you fix up, some of y'all old as me, you know, you had to go buy some teeth, yeah. No matter how much you fix up, time gonna come by and tell you that you old. No need of worshiping this old building. Here's the good news. God loves you so much so that when this body gets to the place where it can no longer do what it used to do, I got another building. I got another house. I got another place. And it looks better than this one. So don't y'all get hung up on the one you in. All right? Yeah, I know you look good. I know. Just don't worship yourself. Let me move on. When we think about modern day idolatry, there's a couple of things that should capture our mind, attractions and distractions of our age. They're nothing more than idols. Here it is, you have entertainment industry. The entertainment industry is using people who are playing parts that's not really them to take you into another reality that's not really you. Did you get that? In other words, they're acting. And the very fact that they're acting in an entertaining way makes you think, okay, I'm going to go along with the hero of the story. I'm going to relate to them. Rather than saying, okay, maybe this is not the reality that I want to live. A lot of people have been so influenced by the entertainment industry that it's literally destroyed their lives. Destroyed their lives. Trying to live out something that God never said for them to do. Trying to either play the macho role or the model role, and I look cute. No, you don't look cute. You're just you. We fall into that. Our economic system that we have in this country, the way we utilize our capital and our resources, it's not geared toward helping one another. It's geared toward greed. Gimme, gimme, and while I got a plenty, I still want more. I had to visit my storage unit on the other day, which meant we got stuff from our old house that didn't fit in our new house, and so we had to get storage because you don't want to throw it away. I used to have a rule that anything is over 2 years, just get rid of it. But rather than give it to the Goodwill, no, I'm going to wear that one day. Meanwhile, the moths were having a good time with it. We psych ourselves out with our idols, and we fail to look at God who gives us strength every day. As Paul and Barnabas went into this region called Lystra, preaching the word, it was actually a part of a broader region of Lycaonia. None of them had ever heard of the name of Jesus Christ. And for the Jews that had heard about Christ, who was scattered among those people, many of them did not know the fullness of the gospel. So Paul comes in. He and Barnabas, they're preaching. They're telling people, man, you're reading the Old Testament scripture, but here's the truth about Christ. He came to fulfill these scriptures and to let you know that he's God. The Lord is going to do some miraculous things, which he did. Some of the passages we read where Paul was so filled with the Spirit that he would send out handkerchiefs, give to people, and then people were healed by the handkerchief. It wasn't the handkerchief. It was God's power manifesting through the prayers that they were making for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? In this certain area of Lystra, they are now doing what they always do, go into the synagogue, teach about Jesus, and if Gentiles that want to serve God, what they call God-fearing, if they want to serve God, we're going to tell them, and they started believing. But in that service was a man who was lame, and he kept listening. Now, don't ask me how Paul knew, but somewhere in his spirit he discerned this man has faith to be healed. I told you last Sunday that faith, what it does when you hear God's word and you start reading God's word, it creates in you God's strength and God's ability to perform things that you didn't think could happen. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Some people have gotten their way out of darkness because they believe God's word. They believe that God was able to bring them out, and so the Lord delivered them. Some people have received miracles in their lives because they trusted God. They said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." They believed God so much that they didn't have room for the doubt that would have told them, well, God haven't done it yet, but that doesn't mean it's over yet. If I trust him, God is able. And if he doesn't, that means he's going to do something better. This man lay there, and he was thinking about what Paul was saying, and all of a sudden, he had this faith that was inside him. Paul saw the faith, and he said, you know what? Get up from that place that you're in. And the man, notice what the scripture says, he leaped up, and he walked. Never having walked before, he walked. Miracle of God, right? And you would think that everybody would have praised God except for the fact that these people did not know who God was. Now you're getting there. And when you worship something and you don't know what it is, you got an idolatry. It can happen in the church. People get happy because one person gets happy, the other person says, well, I think I'll join them. They're over there jumping and praising God, and they're praising God because the Lord just helped them through a terrible time in their life last week. You're praising them just to keep up with them. So you got an idol on your hand. And when Paul and Barnabas understood that this crowd of people were not praising God, they were looking at them. They said, oh no. We can't let this happen. We cannot let this happen, that they worship us and not worship God. Are y'all still here? Now, that's the heart of my sermon. Let me get you out to the end of it and give you some walking things to walk with out of here. Amen? And your assignment today is go home and get rid of your idols. Now, I'm not telling you to take your mirrors off the wall, but change your attitude. Change your attitude about who gets the credit for the good things in my life. Who am I going to honor? Who will I recognize? Will I bow to me? Will I bow to the things that I have? Or will I look up and with thanksgiving in my heart, give God all the praise? First thing, you got to recognize the idol threat. Recognize it. When they started worshiping and people said, okay, Paul, you're going to be Mercurius, and Barnabas, you're going to be Jupiter, and we're going to worship you. Now, remember, they're speaking another language. They don't get everything that they're saying, but when they come to them with these wreaths and they start adorning them, they start saying to each other, we got a problem here. People are looking at us, and they're thinking, we're God. And rather than looking at it as a way of saying, you know what, I'm done, they saw it as an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. Let me give you an example. When somebody comes up to you and they start saying to you, you're the best thing since sliced bread. Not sliced bread. Anyway, when they start recognizing you, here is an opportunity for you to immediately say, thank you for your compliment, but if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, if God didn't show me what to do, I wouldn't have the ability. This is what Paul and Barnabas are saying right now. It's not us that did this. As a matter of fact, they went further to tell them, that's why God wanted you to turn from these things so that you would worship him. And you know, for one, I'm glad that God is invisible. I'm glad. I'm glad that he's a spirit, because if he was, and he did come down in a body, but we still worship and serve an invisible God. You can't see him except through the eyes of faith. Your faith cannot grow when you're focused on an idol. Are y'all learning something? I know I got to hurry up. I got 7 minutes to finish up here. So recognize the threat. Recognize what's going on in your life. Here's a good clue. If all of a sudden the songs you sing about God don't mean much to you anymore, the old rugged cross doesn't move you like it did when you first came to know the Lord, or down at the cross doesn't stir your heart like it used to, or if a sermon is just a sermon, or if you get something and, it's just something else I got. Let me stick that in my closet. Let me park that in my driveway. That's a good indication that you have idolatry going on in your life. But when you get something and you understand who gave it to you, when you understand how far he brought you, when you visit the hospital and you're visiting the hospital and not going in yourself, you ought to thank God, because it was nobody but God. Don't allow your idols to interfere with your worship. Don't allow the things of this world. You got idols all around you. You got people, rather than them giving thanks to God, some of them, they got their boats, they're going out to the lake, nothing wrong with that. But if you do that before, or you don't honor God in anything you do, this just me. All right, you on your own. Try drawing your next breath without God. Try waking up tomorrow without him. Try having things to go well in your life without God. Let's see how that works. As my mama said, go on, go on, go on. You'll understand how much you need him. And this is what Paul was saying. We have a threat in our nation. And I'm going to go ahead and get to this right now, because it needs to be said. In our nation, not only are we worshiping things, not only are we worshiping the riches that we have and worshiping ourselves, but we have this thing called growing nationalism. You notice we have the flag that is in our church, right? Have the American flag. Nothing wrong with that. But when you love the flag more than you love the cross, I got a problem with that. And even the arrogant statement, God bless America, do you not know that you're saying God bless us and nobody else? You know he made the world, right? And everything in it. You got to understand what's happening in our nation. There's this push for people to either get on one political side or the other political side. And ladies and gentlemen, you're making idols. It's going to cause your destruction for you to worship this and say, well, I'm this. You know what? I tell people, first and foremost, I'm a child of God. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. Are y'all still in the building? I want to say that on Memorial Day because I feel that a lot of people are headed in the wrong direction as far as their belief. And you need to understand, if it had not been for God, we would have no nation.
Amen.
We're all immigrants except for the Native Americans.
Yes.
I'm a true American. Okay. You can go with that if you want to. But your nation of origin was not America except the Native Americans. I could get into a whole speech about this, but there's a threat. Very quickly before I close, you got to respond. Here's where all of us come in. You're in a society now that's so filled with rhetoric, so filled with this or that. For you to represent God, sometimes it's just the way you live. It's just the way you carry yourself. Rather than giving in to the pressures of this world and saying, well, you know what, everybody else doing it, you're saying to yourself, I am going to be different. Barnabas and Paul, they could have at one point said, hey, let's just ride the tide, man. We're going to be out here in a couple of days anyway. No, don't worry about it. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is for you to stand up and call wrong, wrong. Call right, right. Live for God no matter what. Because when you live for God, that means that God is living in you. How do they respond? When they saw that the people, according to the verse, it says, when they saw that the people were about to pay them worship and to pay them homage, they tore their clothes and ran among the people crying, why do you do these things? We're only humans just like you. And the verse closes a little bit later by saying they could barely keep the people from worshiping them as idols. But they convinced them there's only one God. There's only one God. He does not, will not give his power to anyone else. But he will share his power with his people. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lastly. Whenever you stand up for what's right, you're going to get persecuted.
Amen.
We would love to say, well, you know what? This passage ends with everybody, you know, doing well. You know, we're just going to go on with our lives and everything's going to be good. All is well that ends well. It didn't end that way. There was a group of people that followed Paul and Barnabas to that town, troublemakers. And when they found out what they were doing, and how they were continuing to preach Jesus, they started persecuting them. Now get this, the same folk that were about to worship them now turned against them and began to stone them. Which means whenever you stand up for what's right, you're going to make some enemies. Everybody's not going to like you. Don't worry about it. If God loves you, they'll get it sooner or later. Are y'all still here? They ended up stoning Paul and thinking, well, he's dead. But as the disciples gathered around, as they began to look upon him, that's when Paul rose up. This brings me to my last point that I want to share with you. There's a way for you to get up and to get through all of the stuff that's going on in your life. It's called prayer. I believe that when they gathered around Paul, they began to start praying and calling on God. I'm talking about true disciples. Not the ones that were worshiping them, saying, oh, you got great power. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if a miracle should happen here at Crossroad, give God thanks. Don't thank any person. You know, when I put the food to my mouth to eat, I don't thank my spoon. And I don't think the bowl that it's in. I'm being really, because I know. My wife's looking at me. What? The point I'm making, quit focusing on objects. Start focusing on the one that loves you with all of the might that you have. God loves you. His love is unlimited. And you got to trust him and serve him. Amen?
Amen?
Closing point, then I'm going to myself. Oh, I forgot the closing point. I got them in my notes. Amen? Couple of things that we need to think about. So here are key things you need to think about. One, Know the difference between the world offering you a compliment and the world attempting to idolize you. Know the difference. If they compliment you, thank you. I appreciate that. If they idolize you, start backing away. Say, wait a minute, I don't deserve this. Because I know where the Lord brought me from. Which means you got to go back in your mind. And you got to think about what happened in your life. Who turned you around? Who was the one that brought you out? By the way, since we're on the subject, quit looking back at folks, what they used to do. Look at what they're doing now. Are y'all in the building? I know some. We got a bunch of historians in the church. Love to keep a history on what folk did. But do you know what God is doing right now? Do you know that he's my way maker? Do you know that he's my friend who's leading me into my future? I don't even look back at my past except to see how far the Lord has brought me. Look at somebody telling me, he brought me from a mighty long way. Yeah. You got to know that God is the one that receives all the glory. Second thing is, every time you get together as children of God, you can do an exercise that helps you to avoid idolatry. It's called praise. When you give God praise, you automatically shut down the idol. When you give God thanks, when you lift your voice in the church and let people know that my God is good, Reverend Ray comes up and he tells us God is good, and then we respond all the time. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's your opportunity to praise. You can just stand up and say, God is good all the time. But when it means something to you, when you know that he was there for you, when you were in your darkest hour and the Lord brought you out of darkness, you ought to let somebody know God is my God. That's why he's good. I could have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord blessed me. Turn around and tell somebody, the Lord blessed me.
Lord bless
the
me.
Lord blessed me. The Lord blessed me. Third thing, then we're going to serve communion. Third thing. The other thing that happens when you are persecuted because you believe, don't get mad. Don't storm out. Don't. You know why? Because they persecuted Jesus. You know another thing? He said, now if you follow me, they're going to talk about you. They're going to lie on you. They're going to do all these evil things against you. But he said, rejoice. Do you know what rejoice means? It means to be glad. Why? Because you're on your way to heaven. Nobody can stop you from going there. And all you got to do is keep on moving on. Paul, I can imagine that they had him stoned, thought they had him gone, but he got up and he said, you know what? I'm going to praise him one more time. Is there anybody in here that's crazy enough? Is there anybody in here that's bold enough to say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him because he's my God and yes, he's real. Give him a shout. I'm not going to have these idols. I'm not going to put up with it because I got the living God. Can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. Do you belong to him today? Well, give him thanks and say thank you, Lord. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to give the invitation if there be one today. If there be one today, we're going to give the invitation. Maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you are still in that world of idolatry, having this to worship and having that to worship. But today's your day of freedom to say, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to trust him. Not a part of a church family, want to be a part of our church, we invite you to come if there's one. If you're online, you can't come in here, but you can correspond with us online.
Your grace and mercy,
God, and we'll respond to you, and God will do the work.
Lord, be through.
the church are open.
Because of you, I want to thank you.
Yes.
And praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through.
Come on, say it, son.
Thank you for saving.
Yes, sir.
A sinner like me. To tell the world salvation is free.
Yes, sir.
There were times when I just couldn't do right. But you watch over me both day and night. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you. Just as it's demanded,
yes, sir,
that I should die. Grace and mercy said, oh, no, you've already paid the price.
You ain't as it did.
See, I once was blind, but thank God I could see. It was because
grace and mercy
came along and rescued me. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you.
Officers to come as we prepare ourselves for the communion. We do this because we love Jesus. We don't make an idol, but we sure enough praise him and thank him for what he's done. So we're going to ask, if you need to be served communion, raise your hand. We'll try to get you wafer. As we prepare to receive this wafer and this cup today, God could have sent us anything and called it salvation. He could have just left us with the law and said that was salvation, but he knew we were weak. God could have sent an angel, mighty as they were, but he knew we needed something more. God gave you his best. That's what this represents. And as we pray over it today, we're praying that God help us to be real in our worship and to give you our best. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the wafer that we're receiving right now. And those that are joining online, we pray for them as they celebrate communion with us. I pray that as we partake of this, we would recognize that we have no other gods before you. We'd also recognize that you are great and you've done some marvelous things in our lives, but the most precious gift was your salvation by your son dying on the cross. And then, Father, as we receive it, give us the strength that we need to live a life that's pleasing in your sight. Bless us and bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take the wafer and let us eat together. Now let us take the cup. Let us drink together. Amen. The Bible said that after they had eaten and drank of the Lord's Supper, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I'm going to ask Brother Wilson to come and give us the closing prayer and the prayer over the offering. Well, aren't you glad you came to church today? Amen. God bless you, brother.
This day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.